The federal government is running your business. If you're a contractor doing work in the federal space, or at least it might seem that way, the Professional Services Council says an influx of executive orders and legislation have placed a heavy burden on contractors to comply. Alan Shvatkin's executive vice president counsel of the Professional Services Council, and writing about it in the October issue of PSC's Service Contractor magazine. Alan, I have to say it's a pretty powerful metaphor or analogy that Uncle Sam might be on your board of directors. Thanks for joining me this morning, Alan. Good morning.
Good morning, Francis. Always a pleasure to join you.
What was it that brought this to a head in your mind that made you want to write this piece, Alan?
Well, we've been looking at the panoply of executive orders and other government policies over the last couple of years, really. And as we were talking about the impact on the federal contracting market and professional services firms in particular, what struck me was how many touch points the federal government was actually limiting or dictating what companies can do. And so as we thought about it, it was really Uncle Sam joining the board, and what we did in the magazine was just show the various pictures of Uncle Sam sitting around the board table, and we could have labeled, it would have just been too busy to label Chief Human Capital Officer, Chief Financial Officer, General Counsel, CEO, to show how much influence the government actually has over businesses.
We'll talk about each of the four major points that you make in this piece in turn. The first one is Uncle Sam dictates contractor prices and profitability. How so, Alan?
Well, of course, the competition process will always drive contractor prices, but there are a number of contract types where the government has specifically limited the amount of profit a company can make on a contract, and so there's some real limits, even though the contract form might give a contractor flexibility, such as in fixed-price contracts. Many of the rules, and I cite here the GSA's Multiple Award Schedule program as an example, where they're actually constrained prices.
I understand the metaphor of Uncle Sam being on the board of a company in such a business environment, but that company does have the option to not participate.
Of course. But we have over 600,000 companies who have registered to do business with the federal government. So, yes, a company always has that choice. But the federal government is aggressively pursuing companies to participate, both small businesses, non-traditional companies, and others. And so, yes, there's an option. Many companies are taking advantage of it. Others are walking away from it. But the reality is that the federal government is still spending over $450 billion on the purchase of goods and services. It's a good market to be in.
Right, yeah, and the fact that companies are walking away is exactly the issue that especially the Department of Defense seems to be most concerned about right now. The second point you write about is Uncle Sam dictates contractor human resources policies, and you point out at least 12 executive orders and the regulations accompanying them just during the Obama administration.
That's right, and you and I have talked about this before. Others have focused on it as well. And so this is not a question of whether these orders are right or wrong and whether it makes sense for the federal government to have a policy or to mandate contractors have certain policies. But the cumulative effect of it is that the government is focused exclusively on government contractors. President Obama is certainly not the first president to mandate such, but the breadth of these impositions, from sick leave policy to who you can hire to whether you have to provide certain pay benefits, all of that makes compliance with these rules a real significant issue and draws significant limits what companies can do, who you can hire, when you can hire them, how you hire them, how much you pay them.
Alan Shvatkin's executive vice president and counsel for the Professional Services Council, and writing in the Service Contractor magazine, its PSC's monthly publication for its members. The third item that you touch on in this piece, Alan, is that Uncle Sam dictates contractor purchasing policies.
Yes. Again, the federal regulation, the acquisition regulation, give the government certain authorities. They've been in place forever, and so many of them are not in and of themselves not difficult, but they look at who you can buy from, whether the companies have an adequate record of compliance, whether you're doing an adequate job or enough of a job with small businesses. And again, the context here is not whether the socioeconomic programs are good or bad, but the government is specifically imposing its view on who you as a prime contractor or the higher tier company can do business with.
The fourth one is Uncle Sam dictates contractor business conduct and compliance programs or ethics programs. Is that necessarily a bad thing because of the fact that the government's spending taxpayer dollars?
No. Again, as said a couple of times, this is not a question of whether they're right or wrong. The government should only do business with responsible contractors. But the degree of a burden, many times the requirements in and of themselves, mandatory disclosure of allegations, mere allegations, the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces rule that we've talked about requires companies, as right now it's a proposed rule, we vigorously opposed it, not because of the underlying process, but because of the burden you're required to certify at the time you submit a proposal, and if you should be lucky enough to get an award, you certify every 6 months that there's been no violation. Why every 6 months? Why not at a minimum? For example, if there's a violation, you report it. If it happens to occur in month one, report it in month one. Why, in effect, a negative certification? I'm telling you every 6 months that I didn't do something wrong. So lots of opportunities to streamline, to get at the issue. We want responsible contractors to do business with the federal government. Companies are willing to be held accountable for their behavior. There's got to be a simpler way to do it than many of these rules impose.
You write in this piece, the government should be assessing the impact of these unique requirements on companies that are or that want to be providing goods and services to fulfill agency needs. How would you like them to be assessing these requirements on an ongoing basis, Alan?
Well, right now they look at them on a one-by-one basis. So they'll look at a rule and say, the paperwork burden on this is not significant. For many, it is not just the onesie-twosies, but it's the cumulative effect. And the government has no real assessment of the impact of these cumulative issues on the industrial base, particularly in services. But we know they're concerned about it because when they're looking at enticing non-traditional firms into the marketplace, they're willing to look at alternatives, bypassing the procurement system, using other mechanisms such as challenges or prizes, because everybody recognizes that the compliance burden brings a significant cost to the marketplace that impacts federal pricing. And if they can find a way to circumvent it, my argument is they ought to circumvent it for all, minimize that burden, not just on some.
There's another thing that we only have a minute left, Alan, but there's another underlying sentiment here that I think I detect and that I wonder about, and that is these regulations and executive orders all seem to be written with the assumption that somebody's doing something wrong and we need to catch them, rather than overall the contracting base is okay and there are a few bad apples out there that we'd like to weed out. Is that a reasonable assumption on my part?
You've been in this business a long time, as have I, Francis, and I think you're absolutely right. In fact, in many of the reports from the White House itself, they've said, in the case of sick leave, the overwhelming number of contractors, companies, do provide that kind of benefit. We want to help. We want to address only the 1% that are not. And so, again, in that area and in others, we've suggested a more targeted approach. Why impose a burden on 99% to accommodate a 1%? So I think you're right. There's an element of trust. There's an element of mandate here that there may be better ways. And if overwhelmingly companies are doing the right thing, they ought to be incentivized and rewarded for it, not penalized because of a few bad actors.
Alan, thanks for coming on. As always, a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure, Francis.